Spiritual Gifts for God's Glory, Part 4, Speaking for the Glory of God. Now, if you're here for the very first time or you haven't been here in a while, you're coming in the Part 4 of a four-part series on spiritual gifts. There are CDs out there that you can pick up to catch up with what we've been talking about. You can also listen to it online, but I hope that you have... excuse me. I hope that you have enjoyed the time that we spent together as we've walked through what the Bible says about spiritual gifts, at least some of what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. So let's do just a little bit of review. A spiritual gift is a God-given capacity for each follower of Jesus to fulfill his or her function in the body of Christ. So all believers in Jesus have these spiritual gifts, at least one, perhaps many, throughout their lifetime, that God has given each of us to help us to carry out the purpose that God has for us in not only in the church, but really in the world in which we live. And so we've looked at these gifts around four key words. So I'm going to take a risk here, see how much we've learned. But as I get ready to click on them, I'm going to just shout it out. So the first one is that spiritual gifts are given by the...
grace.
That wasn't a shout. That was just Heather. Okay, the rest of you were just like... So let's try that again. Spiritual gifts are given by the...
grace
of God. All right? So... you didn't do anything to deserve them. You didn't do anything to order them. God just gives them to us based on his grace as he sees. They're given to us for the...
growth.
Heather, would you like to come on up here? I think maybe I should use you for this one. Thank you, anyway. For the growth of the body. God gives us gifts to help the body grow, to build up and edify the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are never given primarily for our own benefit, but for the... excuse me, the body of Christ. All right, so they're given by the grace of God for the growth of the body for the...
glue!
Amen! Thank you! There we go, for the glue of the body. They're not meant to divide us. We looked at some warning labels last week. The scriptures give us warning labels about this. Don't let these gifts divide you. Use them to bring you together. Mercy, teaching, prophecy, whatever it is meant to bring us together. And then the last one is that they are for the
glory
of God. All right, for the glory of God. If you can just remember those four words, grace, growth, glue, glory, you really kind of have your hand around what spiritual gifts are given for or the purpose of those gifts. We also said that spiritual gifts can be divided into three categories: sign gifts, service gifts, and speaking gifts. We've looked at the first two already, and today we're going to look at the last group. Right before we do that, always like to give you one or two general thoughts about spiritual gifts in addition to the particular ones that we're looking at. So today, this idea is this: the spiritual gifts you have may change over time. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates to us that the gifts are necessarily permanent. They're not like a tattoo where, you know, you get it and that's, you have that for the rest of your life. You can never have anything else. I don't read that in the scripture. So you might feel like you have particular gifts now. 5 years from now, you might be a total different person in terms of your gifts. God may need you to do something else. So, or maybe the more relevant way of looking at that is that if you feel that God is pulling you in a particular direction and gifting you in a place and you're thinking, well, I've never done that before. I've never done that kind of thing before. It must not be me. Don't think that, because God could have changed the gift set that he has given to you, and now he needs you to do something else for the body of Christ and for his glory. So spiritual gifts that you have may change over time. The second thing is that gifts are given in different measure. Ephesians 4:7 says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. I need the gift of speaking right now, God. Could you please help me with it? Gifts are given in different measure. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. We look at how we might have a gift that somebody else has a gift, and it's obvious that their gift just is given in greater measure. That's okay. That's not a problem. We ought not to feel bad about that. That's not an issue. They're given in different measure. All right? So today we're going to turn the focus in onto this idea of speaking gifts. The speaking gifts, and some of you might think, well, I know what that is. That's the gift of gab, and I have that, or my spouse has that. No, that's not actually listed in the scripture, okay? So the gift of gab may be important in your life, but it's not what... Now, I just got to go back to the video. Guys, you've had this happen to you before, right? I mean, I know some of this stuff is stereotypical. I'm getting a witness from Eric Heinzelman over here on my left. Thank you, Eric. All right. Ladies, we love you for that, but sometimes it drives us crazy. You talk about one thing, and then a key word gets you going to another thing, and then a key word gets you going to another thing, and it's spider webbing, and we don't want you to change that. And so, guys, that's not going to change about them. That's wonderful. But we just have to understand it. And something like a marriage conference helps us to get there. And maybe some guys do that too. I don't know. All right, here's the big idea. Speaking gifts teach and tell the truth about God that we all need to hear. Speaking gifts teach and tell the truth about God that we all need to hear. We've looked at sign gifts. We've looked at service gifts. Today, speaking gifts. All right? So we're just going to go through the list that's given to us in the Scripture. Number one, prophecy. Romans 12:6. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, the word here means to speak before people. That's what this word means. It means to speak before people. There is definitely prophecy in the Bible that speaks to the future. And sometimes when we look at this, we might think, well, that's what we're talking about with this particular gift, the gift to tell the future, the ability to tell the future. And the Bible is full of prophecy. The Bible is full of things that were written hundreds and hundreds of years before their fulfillment to help validate the message of God. Oh, thank you, Wes. To help validate the message that, that God has for us. I just cannot get rid of this. All through the Scripture, we think about Revelation sometimes when we think about prophecy, but Isaiah 53:7, 800 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah in chapter 53 wrote about the suffering servant, the suffering Messiah, predicting in even detail some of the suffering that Jesus would go through. And he wrote that hundreds of years before Jesus was incarnated on earth. So the Bible is full of prophecy, full of things that predict and tell the future, events that are going to happen later on. But that's not really what this gift, I think, is for today. And typically, when we try to do that, we get off base. When we think that what God has given to certain people is this ability to tell us what's going to happen in the future, we tend to get off the mark. All of us remember the whole business with Harold Camping a year or so ago with the predicting of the end of the world and then the re-predicting of the end of the world when it didn't happen. And it just sort of makes us look a little strange when we try to kind of use the Bible to project too much out into the future, or even when we don't use the Bible. A couple of quick examples of some prophecies that really didn't go very well. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM in 1943. I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. Okay, some of you have 5 computers in your house, all right, if you consider cell phones and smartphones and all that sort of stuff. So he's a little off base in terms of his predicting of the future. There is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. Ken Olson, president, chairman, and founder of Digital Equipment. Yeah, he's a little off base on that one. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. Most of us are wearing one or have one with us today. While theoretically and technically television may be feasible, commercially and financially, it is an impossibility. Not so much. A cookie store is a bad idea. Besides, the market research reports say America likes crispy cookies, not soft and chewy cookies like you make. Response to Debbie Fields. Also, those market research never had any of David's awesome cookies either, all right? And my last one, next to the last one, we don't like their sound and guitar music is on the way out, all right? Decca Recording Company referring to the Beatles. All right, they were a little off on that one. And this is the last one. With over 50 foreign cars already on sale here, the Japanese auto industry isn't likely to carve out a big slice of the U.S. market. Business Week, August 2, 1968. So we don't necessarily do real well when we try to predict the future. And so as we think about this gift of prophecy, the emphasis is on telling the truth, not the future. The emphasis of the biblical gift of prophecy is to tell the truth, to speak the truth before people, not to try to speak the future. What God has given certain individuals is a gift to be able to stand before others and speak the truth about the Word of God. And then there's a modifier in that text. Let me just, I can't run all the way back through there, but there's a modifier in that text that talks about in proportion to our faith. Now, I've read a lot this week about that and read before, couple of different ideas about what that could mean. It could just simply mean the faith as the Christian faith. So we prophesy in proportion or in measure of our faith. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the faith. We're talking about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or it could be, it could refer back to the concept of measure, that some people have a greater ability by God to prophesy, to be able to stand up and tell the truth about Jesus Christ. Either one really fits. Neither one of them is wrong. So maybe you've got that ability. You just really are able to stand up and speak before people and tell about the faith, tell about the truth of God. These folks are needed in the body of Christ. The second gift that we want to look at really are two of them, the word of wisdom and knowledge through the Spirit. Now, we've been saying all along throughout this series that these gifts are not typically defined for us in the Bible. There's no verse that says, and the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is this, and then tells us exactly what it is. And I think this one sometimes has been misused or misunderstood in terms of people have said, well, what I have is I have new revelation from God. I have new truth. I have a word of wisdom that God has given to me that we should sort of look at on par or of equal value to the Scripture. Or I have been given a word of knowledge that we need to use in conjunction with the Scripture, and maybe you don't agree with it, but it's exactly right. It was given to me by God. I look at that and say, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's what we have in mind here. In the early days, in early New Testament times, before they had the Scripture, I think that may have been more true, that God would have used people to give out a more of a revelation that had not yet been written or had not yet been recorded for us. I had an experience in New York one time when right at the end of a service, right after, well, I noticed that she had sort of come in at the end of the service near the end, and there were probably 30, 40 people there this time. Church had just started, and there was a woman. She was dressed in a priestly outfit, and after we had dismissed the service, she began to walk up, and she got me. She said, I need you to gather everybody back together because I have a word from God for the church. I was like, And I said something like, well, I'm sorry, I can't really gather everybody back together. We've already dismissed, but, you know, if you want to tell me what it was. And so she told me something, and it was really fine. I mean, there was nothing wrong with what it was. But I was very reluctant. I had to actually call her back later and said, you know, I have to apologize to you because I really could have brought everyone back together. I mean, there's only like 30 people, so it wasn't very difficult to bring everyone. But I said, I didn't know what you were going to say. I felt some responsibility not to put you up in front since I've never met you before. I have no idea who you are. You just come in here and say, look, I have a word for the church. The word could have been, you need to fire the pastor. That's not a word I want them to hear, okay? Even if that's from God, I'm sorry, I'm not spiritual enough to want them to hear that. So that might be the situation or case, but I think that God hasn't given additional revelation to special people. I don't think that's what this gift is all about. Rather, I think it's this idea of being able to see the Scripture and getting new insight from it, to be able to apply it in ways, perhaps, that we haven't thought about applying it before. In fact, again, there's no definition, so I could be off base a little bit on this one, but here's my idea of this. If we find ourselves listening to someone and often saying or thinking, I never thought of that, we might be listening to someone with this gift. Again, as long as it's consistent with the traditional interpretation of the Scriptures, but if you've ever got somebody that you like to listen to on a sermon or books you like to read, and you see them applying things in ways that you never thought of, I think perhaps that person may have this gift. They may have the ability to have wisdom and knowledge that come from God that they can sort of apply or use in helping us to understand the Scripture. Now, there's a problem with this gift. I don't think it's this new revelation and new stuff. So it's really taking the old stuff and packaging it differently. And the problem is